Eddie Murphy is back. But this time, he's looking for a missing child, a golden child.
This child is special, Mr. Giraud. His destiny is to save the world.
And it's your destiny to seek some serious psychiatric help.
Hey, may I ask you boys a couple of questions?
By the time he finds you, it will be too late.
Hey. In my pocket, it's a whole thing of Tic Tacs. It's take as many as you like, please.
I could destroy you just like that.
Just like that. Mwah, you're wonderful.
Nobody be alarmed. I'm Ma'am Chandler Jarrow, American Stolen Artifacts Finders of America.
He's irresponsible.
A bed?
Is that a bed? He's a careless, thoughtless, undisciplined fool.
I should be punished. I should be purged. I should be flogged.
You are the chosen one. You will find a child.
Well, I do my best.
I'm so afraid of the dark, too.
I really don't like your attitude.
You know, this is a nice jacket. It's a Morris Day feel, and it looks good on you. And the boots, smoking.
He's got a firm grip on reality. Where he's going, he'll need it.
How'd you do that? What was that with the flip?
You must carry this glass of water without spilling a drop.
Who are you, Monty Hall now?
This is a piece of cake!
Eddie Murphy is the chosen one.
Well, how many people have survived this test?
None.
None!
The golden child.
None!
Welcome to Mysterious Dreams. This episode we're going to be just talking about Golden Child. This podcast is dedicated to everything strange, weird, obscure, bad, fantastic, and anything we deem interesting that's streaming on movie streaming services. I am your host, Nicholas Peterson, or the Mime Killer.
And I am Mary Peterson, or the Geeky Senorita.
You can find this podcast at Podmatic. You can also find us on iTunes. And you can find us at thecriticsword.com. I forgot almost to do like 75% of that last week.
I think you did forget most of it.
I don't think we even introduced ourselves or the podcast.
No, we just kind of were like, hey, we're back, assuming that our listeners know who we are.
Well, thanks for tuning back in. I was afraid we'd have a steep drop-off.
Given the long break?
Yeah, given the long hiatus. But not only did we match what we were doing in previous episodes, but it's increased.
It has, which I'm a little surprised.
Which I'm always surprised we get one download, to be honest. But our shut-in fans living in Unabomber-style shacks.
Oh, man, I need one of those.
They're going strong still, so thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you.
That about wraps it up, right?
Yep, pretty much. See you next time.
So the movie we decided to discuss this week, we were going to do Ninja 2, but we had so much fun discussing Big Trouble in Little China last week that and we even brought up The Golden Child last week's podcast as something similar. Did. So I couldn't get it out of my brain, and then we had to talk, watch, and then discuss The Golden Child because...
Oh, I love this movie so much.
The 80s was a great time for action comedy, so it was, I would say, the golden era for that genre. You had Ghostbusters and Back to the Future.
I've never seen Ghostbusters.
I could have sworn you've at least seen most of it just through me watching it all the time.
I've seen clips on YouTube is what happens.
Well, thank you. Well, you haven't seen it, but it's considered a classic in the action comedy genre.
I suppose.
And Gremlins, even, I would say, action comedy.
Oh, Gremlins is awesome.
And The Golden Child doesn't get brought up as, like, a great action comedy, even though I think it ranks right up there with Big Trouble in Little China, Ghostbusters, all those films.
I agree. I like, even though I've never seen Ghostbusters, but I really enjoyed Big Trouble in Little China. My racism notwithstanding.
Your nativism. But you've seen The Golden Child before, though, right?
I have. It's been a while since I've seen it, though. I think the last time I saw it, I was in my teens, I think. Something like that.
Well, if you've never seen it, Golden Child stars Eddie Murphy, and it's a movie directed by Michael Ritchie. And it's a fantastic film. Essentially, Eddie Murphy plays a character who's... he finds lost kids, and I don't know if he gets money for this. It's never really quite explained if he...
Well, the description says that he's a social worker.
He's a social worker, but he has emphasis on finding lost kids. He goes on a TV show in the beginning of the movie.
Oh, that's such an awesome scene.
It's kind of like a, I don't know, a satire of 80s talk shows. Kind of like satire on Jerry Springer before Jerry Springer even existed. And so...
Just the fact that the host is more interested in every other guest than his whole missing kid thing just makes me laugh.
And so he gets approached by a woman who, after the show, who wants him to find a kid kidnapped in Tibet.
The golden child.
The titular, is that the word?
Titular? Something like that. Oh my gosh.
Something.
Yikes.
The golden child has been kidnapped, and he has the key to saving the world. He's going to save the world.
I don't know if I could trust Eddie Murphy as to be the key to save the world.
Well, Eddie Murphy's the chosen one, and like you kind of know why the golden child's the golden child.
In a way, you can kind of consider Eddie Murphy the savior of this world, since he has to save the kid who has to save the world.
Yeah, but it's never really explained why. It is because it is. And if you look on the Wikipedia page for this movie, the original script was a very serious action-adventure movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to star Kurt Russell, right?
Mel Gibson.
And once they got Eddie Murphy on board, they completely rewrote...
Because Mel Gibson went crazy. Well, no.
No, this is way before he went crazy.
But I say he was crazy to turn down this role. I think it would have been pretty awesome with Mel Gibson in it.
You know what? I'd have to look at his IMDb and what he was doing...
At the time,
to determine if you were right. I want to say... Oh, Tequila Sunrise was later.
I've never seen that movie either.
It's not good at all.
Oh, yikes.
It's horrible.
Okay, then maybe it's a good thing that Mel Gibson wasn't involved in this.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. The year this movie came out, which is 1986. Maybe a Lethal Weapon movie. That sounds about right. But anyway, once Eddie Murphy became the star of this film, they completely rewrote it to make it more of a comedy and the fit his personality. And he openly mocks the plot the entire
movie. I love that. I love when an actor knows that the role he's playing is just utterly ridiculous.
It's just so well written, and Eddie Murphy plays to it so well that it's beyond even what Kurt Russell was doing in Big Trouble in Little China, because Kurt Russell's kind of a thickhead.
Oh, the most useless sidekick in the history of sidekicks.
In Big Trouble, but he wasn't really making fun. He was kind of more blustery than anything. Mm-hmm. Eddie Murphy is just laughing and riffing, and if I'm up to it, I'm going to put in the podcast one of my favorite scenes if I can find it on YouTube. If it's not, it's because I couldn't find it or I couldn't figure it out. But in one of my favorite scenes, he walks into a temple and asking for a knife, and all the monks are kind of talking with each other in these kind of chant things.
It does feel very chanty, like, I need the knife.
And Eddie Murphy just does this huge riff on the way they're chanting. And he does it twice, and chance, please. It's fantastic.
Possibly the best scene I've seen in my entire life. I love that scene so much. It's honestly the first time I saw this, I wasn't paying that much attention to it. But that's the scene that sticks out for me in this whole movie, just because it was so utterly ridiculous.
Everything getting the knife.
Yes.
I feel nervous because every time I'm talking about these scenes, I almost feel myself on the verge of going into an Eddie Murphy impersonation.
Oh, man. Please refrain from doing that.
I'm going to try my best to... But also, there's a little bit of... There's the CGI work in this movie. It's fairly well done. There's like a...
Yeah.
There's a little dancing Pepsi can.
I love the Pepsi can. Is it a Pepsi can or is it Coke can? It's a Pepsi can. Sorry. I get the colors mixed up.
You okay, dog?
Yes. I'm okay. Continue.
Yeah, a little dancing Pepsi can. And the monsters are kind of just... They're called supernatural creatures. I don't even really know what they are. They just have weird-looking heads.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people with weird-looking heads in real life, to be honest.
I do like that there is a bizarro Hordor.
Yeah, there is one guy. The bad guys put their most simple-minded and dumbest guard on the golden child, which ends up working against them.
Look, here's the thing. This golden child is doesn't hurt anybody. That's not his whole thing. He doesn't cause any harm to anybody. So, they put their most useless one there. Because if he does harm somebody, then what are they going to lose? Nothing. It's not like they're putting their best man on it, and then they lose their best man if this kid decides to go bug nuts.
Well, that all that logic being aside, the Golden Child can't hurt anybody, but he can... This is, I always find the morality of movies confusing when it's like, okay, the Golden Child is a pacifist, but he can convince a mentally retarded strong man to break someone's neck for getting
look,
mad at
the... Look, here's the thing with the Golden Child. He doesn't like to get his hands dirty. We'll
just say that. I think you can probably convict the Golden Child under Helter Skelter laws.
Yeah, I guess. If you could find some way to hold on to him.
They put him in a birdcage. It didn't take that long.
I feel like that kid could have gotten out of it if he wanted to.
You're saying he's like a
social... He can obviously manipulate objects by the whole dancing Pepsi can.
Now, I forget. They might have said something in the movie that the thing he was in the cage, the thing that bound him, somehow negated his powers. Maybe.
But then how is he able to make the Pepsi can dance or throw... How does that guy get the rocks thrown at him?
Maybe the Golden Child's like... doing a long
maybe
con.
The Golden Child's a dick and he's just trying to out-mongo people.
Oh man, yeah, the Golden Child is he's something else. But Eddie Murphy, of course, a force of nature throughout the entire film, and a lot of the same actors from Big Trouble in Little China are in this movie. Which, when you look at the Wikipedia page, they were filmed roughly around the same time as mm-hmm. each other. And Golden Child, I thought it made no money just because I thought it was a box office failure, but It was in one of the top 10 grossing films of the year.
Really?
When it came out? Yeah, it was 8. Huh. It ranked in number 8, but the movie didn't make Beverly Hills Cop money. Like, it made good money, really good money, but it didn't make, you know...
Oh, I love Beverly Hills
Cop. Beverly Hills Cop, like, blew up the world, and I don't know why the studios...
Well, yeah.
I don't know why...
The movie was fantastic.
Yeah, but I don't know why the studios would expect that this movie, obviously being a little bit more, I don't know...
It's not, I think...
It's not quite as, like, audience-friendly as just, like, Fast Talking Cop. Yeah. It's a little bit harder to sell the whole mythology.
People readily buy a Fast Talking Cop more than they do a kid who can save the world.
Yeah, you're right. But it was considered a box office disappointment. Makes no sense to me, just because it doesn't do
awesome
Beverly Hills Cop money. But that's a
such
very...
Such a good movie, though.
What, Beverly Hills Cop?
Both. Although I would have to say I like Beverly Hills Cop a little bit more than Golden Child. I'll have to say that.
It's just kind of apples and oranges. It's just two different types of...
Look, I feel like any movie with Eddie Murphy, I can pretty much compare the two.
Oh, you think so, huh?
I do.
That's the common denominator?
He plays a fast-talking something.
That's true. I guess you're right. So what was one of your
favorites?
Although
Haunted Mansion, you can't really compare to anything because that was a terrible movie.
I pretty much assume every Eddie Murphy movie after 1995 is a terrible movie.
Eh.
You like Harlem Nights, though. You're like one of the
few...
Oh,
I love Harlem Nights. Oh, my gosh. I love Harlem Nights so much.
You're one of the few Harlem Nights super fans.
Oh, I am. I could quote that movie, but I won't because I feel coming out of my mouth it would be mildly racist.
You're darker skinned. It kind of works for you.
Not really. I'm not as dark as I need to be able to pull it off.
You need to be at least a couple shades darker.
I need to be like Richard Pryor dark.
Oh, dang.
I'm just saying.
You're like Mocha dark, so you can't get away
with
it.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Not quite.
No, everyone, Harlem Nights, yeah.
I love Harlem Nights. Not a lot of people know about Harlem Nights, surprisingly.
You're like a rare dinosaur or something, a rare bird. Harlem Nights super fan. Put it on a gravestone. People will be like, oh, interesting.
Yeah, they even knew what it was in the first place.
So I wish there was more. What was one of your favorite scenes of the film?
The whole knife scene. I love that scene.
When he has to go through the trials?
Yeah. Oh, that stupid monk, though. He would piss me off.
Oh, the little guy from...
Yeah.
The bus driver from...
The bus driver, yeah.
From Big Trouble in Little China.
I would punch that dude in the face if he stole my money.
You can take a shot every time Eddie Murphy says he's going to break this guy's ass. He's always going, I'll bust your ass. I'll break your ass. It happens quite a bit.
What was my other scene, though? There was another scene that I just really enjoyed, and I'm not going to remember what it was.
All right.
Damn it.
We watched it about... We turned the movie ended about 12 minutes ago, so it's understandable that you completely forgot about
it. I'm pretty much an old lady right now.
Don't remember the scene?
Nope, I don't even remember the movie. What are we talking about?
I guess we can just keep on talking about Eddie Murphy.
We could keep talking about Eddie Murphy. Murphy's amazing.
So what are some of your other favorite...
Oh, the other scene that I loved was whatever the mystic was that he was talking to in the beginning. The fact that he tries to hit on her.
Oh, the
just
one...
Just makes me laugh so hard.
And then at the end of the movie, he's talking to a... Throughout the film, he's talking to a woman who's behind a screen, and you just see her silhouette. And, of course, he's, you know, fast-talking and just riffing on her. And when he gets really frustrated, near the end of the movie, he rips the screen off and revealing that she's a snake lady. She has a... She's like... her lower half is a snake. And she kind of goes...
An almost out-of-proportion snake. Like, I feel like her bottom half is way too big for her top half.
Would if you could date a guy who's the top half was a snake or the lower half was a snake, what would it be?
Probably the top half. Snakes have those really long tongues.
Oh, that's weird. So you'd rather...
What the hell am I going to do with a long snake?
He can carry you places. What? I would totally... I would have a woman, her top half be the snake. Our top half be the human. The bottom half would be the snake.
Yeah, but you wouldn't ever be able to do anything.
I could do quite a bit with a top half.
Yikes.
And then she can carry me on her back, and we can, like, heck of, like, I'd ride her like a horse. A snake horse woman.
That's a terrible idea.
She'd take me around town.
Your knees would be dragging on the floor all the time.
I would come up with some kind of saddle that would work.
It wouldn't work.
I don't think
you know how snakes work.
Oh, well, this one seemed powerful enough. I bet it could ride.
Although I imagine snakes have some kind of opening, because how do they have sex to have babies?
Yeah, they gotta have something. I don't know what a peener would do inside it, but...
Where do they even hide it?
Snakes?
Yeah.
I'm sure it's on YouTube.
Yikes, I don't think I want to continue snake on sex. This line of thought.
If you YouTube snake sex, you're either going to get a video with snakes having sex or a video, a really disturbing cartoon of the prisoner character from Simpsons having sex.
Oh, I didn't need to have that image.
What are the two? Oh,
damn it.
So what are some of your other favorite Eddie Murphy movies? What are your top five?
Oh, God, I don't know.
Give me five. Your top five Eddie Murphy
movies. Harlem Nights. I love him in Harlem Nights.
Harlem Nights, Superman. Super fan.
Oh, that's my number one. I like, obviously, Golden Child. I like now Beverly Hills Cop since I finally saw it. I know you're not going to agree with me, but I loved Daddy Daycare.
Oh, my gosh. That's horrible.
I loved it. I thought it was such a cute movie.
That movie's... I just saw the trailer, and it would just make me depressed every time I saw it. It was just depressing.
I don't know. I'd have to think about the last one. I feel like I've seen more Eddie Murphy films than I'm remembering.
So your top five is Harlem Nights.
Yes.
Beverly Hills Cop.
Yes.
Golden Child.
Yes.
Daddy Daycare.
Yes.
And then Unknown.
Unknown. Oh, gosh, yeah, I forgot that he was in Coming to America.
What are you talking about? America. He is Coming to America.
I know, but for some reason being put on the spot like that just broke my brain.
Oh, my gosh. So the
I didn't like him in Shrek, though. I love Shrek, but I don't know.
Oh, you're really weirding me out with your thoughts right now.
I liked Norbit.
Norbit was horrible.
Whatever. Norbit was so funny.
Oh, man, you're like one of the 10 people that love his, like, 90s, 2000s career.
I love Norbit.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
I'm trying to remember if I've seen The Adventures of Pluto Nash.
I feel like it was awful. If it came out after 95, it was awful. Don't worry about it.
I love Nutty Professor. Both.
All right, Bowfinger I did like. That's probably one of his only 90s movies I did, I appreciate.
I knew I've seen more Eddie Murphy's than I remember. Because I know I like.
You make it sound like
Dr. Dolittle.
You make it sound like there's more than one Eddie Murphy.
Sometimes I don't know things. He was in Michael Jackson's "Remember the Time" video. That was pretty cool. Even though he didn't really have a lot of.
It wasn't really a lot of acting.
That was the Michael Jackson
with like a lot of celebrities, right?
It was Eddie Murphy and I think it was. Something Campbell. One of those actresses. I don't remember what the hell. I just remember Eddie Murphy because he played the Pharaoh, and I thought he did really good for not having to be able to talk a lot.
Anyway, back to The Golden Child. One of my other favorite scenes is there's a great dream sequence when the villains invade Eddie Murphy's mind and try to intimidate him into getting the knife that they need to kill the Golden Child. But the dream kind of takes on this weird, like, there's a studio audience, and Eddie Murphy's jokes are getting a laugh track, and Eddie Murphy's kind of riffing on all the henchmen, including that weird-looking monkey kid.
Oh, that kid creeped me out.
That kid, I thought that you watch the movie, you think the monkey kid was going to put up more of a fight. He just ends up pretty much...
He did have those chains, though. That can't be discounted.
Well, yeah, but he just hanged himself with the chains, like, 5 seconds into the fight.
Mm. I guess. I still thought the chains can't be discounted.
Well, that pretty much wraps up Golden Child and an impromptu discussion of Eddie Murphy. Thank you for tuning in to the podcast. We try to keep the episodes anywhere between 20... 30 minutes tops.
Mostly because, especially for this one, I don't think we could talk much longer about Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy? I think I can go on for a long time about Eddie Murphy.
I couldn't.
Do you remember when he got caught with a tranny prostitute?
See, I didn't even know that. Why you gotta put those kinds of images in my head?
Well, I feel bad for him, because I actually believe his story when...
I don't even know what the story is.
The story was he was just kind of like driving around and saw someone needed a ride. And was just trying to do someone a favor and gave him a ride. It turned out to be like a tranny hooker, and he got pulled over with it in the car. And
with her in the car?
It, Hellraiser, it.
Oh my god.
And then he got busted.
God, my racism and your... is. We made quite a duo, sir.
Well, and then I think he was just... I mean, maybe I'm being naive and thinking
maybe you're like all those people that believed Woody Allen for so long.
Oh, poor little Woody Allen. He's just looking for love.
Yikes.
In all the wrong places. Topical. So that wraps up this episode of Mysterious Streams. Thank you. Next week we'll be discussing a movie that I haven't told you we're watching. Okay. It just popped up on Instant Viewing. I'm a huge fan, but we're going to be watching Dirty Mary, Crazy Larry, starring Peter Fonda. Fantastic.
I'm already offended. My name is in the title.
Fantastic film. It's just great. We'll just wait till next 2 weeks from now or whenever we decide to record the podcast. It's on Netflix Instant Viewing. They actually filmed some of the movie here in Sonora, California.
Huh.
They filmed all the...
Do they actually make it look like it, or is it like that one movie you were telling me?
Well, no, it's not based in Sonora, California.
I know, but the scenes that they do, or at least does it look like it?
Yeah, they were all shot in the lower Save Mart.
Really?
In the Save Mart in downtown...
Back to the Future 3 being filmed in Jamestown.
I think this is cooler.
Back to the Future 3 was pretty awesome.
You'll dig this movie. It has a lot of great lines, a lot of classic scenes, a lot of great car stuff.
I will agree to giving this movie a chance if you agree to doing a podcast about Harlem Nights, if and when it ever comes on Instant Viewing.
Oh, brother. Harlem Nights, are you kidding me?
No.
Please save me. Tweet me at MimeKiller and tell me how much you hate Harlem Nights so I can show...
It's such an amazing movie.
So I can show my wife that we don't need to discuss Harlem Nights ever.
I feel like it's such an underrated movie. Not enough people gave it the credit that it needed.
Oh, yeah. Oscar worthy.
It was.
Best actor, best
director.
For
Red Fox alone, I believe.
Red Fox, best actor.
Yep.
Eddie Murphy, best supporting actor.
Yep.
Best film.
Yep.
Best screenplay.
Best soundtrack, best of everything. Here's the thing.
Just sweeps the Oscars, Harlem Nights.
It does.
You're out of control.
Especially since it had Della Reese in it.
Once again, you can Twitter.
And
you can tweet
Stan
me.
Shaw.
You can Twitter my tweet at MimeKiller. That's my Twitter username. You're Mrs.
MimeKiller. I don't think anybody wants to Twitter your tweets.
I think people want to tweet my Twitter all day long, girl. Yeah. All day long.
If you don't want to Twitter his tweets, you can Twitter my tweet at Mrs. MimeKiller.
You can tweet the tweets at Mrs. MimeKiller.
Now we're getting words. Now we're just saying words.
Word salad. All right, thanks for tuning in. Catch us next time. Have a great day.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.
Cross dagger of a jaunty.
For what reason?
For the golden child.
He does not need it.
To save his life.
The child lives for our sakes, not for his own.
I humbly beg you, let us have the knife.
Let him ask it.
I want the knife.
Let him ask again.
I want the knife. Please.
Only a man whose heart is pure can wield a knife, and if you're such a man, you will have it.